Okay, welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host is Otto Loos today.
Still at it.
My partner,
John.
Peter Janowski, is here. And Senator Jack Martins, who has been sharing such wonderful information with us this morning. And we really are stealing time from him. And he's agreed to stay for another 15 minutes. And I know, and I really respect your schedule, but I appreciate you staying here.
Thank you.
We're talking about heroin, which is a huge topic.
Well, drugs in general.
We were just talking about, right.
When we were on the break, we were talking about, you know, the supply and demand factor and decriminalizing it. And I could tell you from having two girls right now that are 20, one just graduated college and one is just finished her freshman year. And, you know, it's not just drugs, it's substances. And substance abuse and use is so prevalent among that generation. It's in every dorm room. And you could run the gamut. We're talking about heroin. We're talking about prescription drugs. You're talking about marijuana. You're talking about alcohol. Everything. And we the discussion went to, you know, treating and inpatient insurance companies. But there's so many facets of it. And no one's really an expert. But, you know, you could have someone who abuses substances. And you have these kids that end up in the hospitals because they're drinking too much. But they only drank once a month. It's the binge problem, too. So now you have people that are abusing substances, and they're not addicted. They don't need in or outpatient. I don't know. I'm just hypothesizing right now. But guess what? Some kid died, or some kid's getting their stomach pumped because they've been drinking.
Well, and that's then, some of that fraternity business.
Right. Well, it's not even fraternity, but this goes on through school and even after it, and with parties, and it just continues. And then you have the person who's may not be an alcoholic but abuses because they can't get through that cocktail party. They can't get through that frat party, whatever it is, unless they get to that certain high. You know, they could go 3-4 months without touching any substance, but when it comes to that special situation, they need that substance to get through it.
And it's, as I admitted when we were offline here, that I had a family member who was addicted to heroin, and it's a terrible thing. It's not good for anybody around them.
Yeah.
You get to the point where you can't trust the person because they will steal whatever they can steal to be able to buy whatever the substance is. And they lose their bearings. They just need help.
Right. And what Jack said before, unfortunately, it's a stigma. It's a really bad stigma. God forbid if somebody in a family had cancer, the neighbor would come out poor and with right. help and everything like that. But if someone said, hey, listen, my child has a substance abuse problem, guess what? The windows close and the doors close. It's an unfortunate stigma.
Am I right in most people who experience a substance abuse problem then are not functioning? Like I say, they're stealing. So you're really not you're not going to work. You're not making a salary.
They can be perfectly functional.
Yeah, they can.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's part of the problem. And you know, look, to the point that we're making here, yeah, there we do have issues of people binge drinking or that they have to get through a situation or they have a situational drinking or drug use habit. Heroin's different. Heroin is a extraordinarily addictive drug. You can take it a couple of times, and you're hooked, for life. It isn't as if you're kicking the habit, and you're no longer going to pick up a cigarette. Heroin is
a disease.
It is
addiction's a disease.
It literally affects your brain, and you crave it in a way that will force you to abandon your family, steal from your loved ones. You know, I have spoken to people who have dealt with this in their families and who have told me this is the closest thing that I have had to looking at pure evil because it took over this child in such a way that they were no longer the person that I knew. And so let me tell you what we can do locally. One, we have to continue to find ways to force health insurance companies to provide coverage so that when people have that moment of lucidity, that, you know, aha moment where they want help, it's there and we're able to provide them. We have to fund beds, inpatient treatment centers locally so that people have ready access to them and they don't have to send their kid half a world away in order to provide for treatment. And third, very simply, look at your medicine cabinets. Go through your medicine cabinets. We all have drugs sitting in our own homes that we've collected. You know, maybe somebody gave us a 30-day prescription and we used 2 or 3 pills and then we put the rest of them in the medicine cabinet. Clean out your medicine cabinets. Take them down to the local precinct. If someone has a Shed the Med program, which we just had in Manhasset this past weekend, we collected over 900 pounds of drugs in a span of 4 hours.
I'll throw in a town commercial. Sunday the 22nd, Bar Beach is having one of those. Bring your meds and they throw them away.
Check your meds. Check your medicine cabinet. Whatever you're not using, take it off the shelves. Because you know what? If you leave it there, somebody you love may take them off the shelves. You may not know about it. And that is the first step towards addiction.
It's a major problem if your family goes through it, as I can speak from experience. And this was back in the era when it was even worse, because it wasn't inexpensive when it first started, as heroin apparently is now. And they
that's why I was confused. I thought heroin, which had to be, that was the high end. You had to be rich, and you were boiling it in a spoon and shooting it up, and it was an event.
At one point, that's how it was.
That was a Kennedy.
I think it's evolved into a more sophisticated business, if you will. You know, but it's a terrible thing. And, like in my era, you mentioned alcohol. The facts are that back in my youth, alcohol was okay. You were allowed to get drunk and do whatever. And it was much more accepted as a way of life. I mean, a lot of people drank back in yesteryear.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd be naive to think that yeah, and drove. And we'd be naive to believe that wasn't the case. But I still think alcohol is an issue today.
So is absolutely.
You know, it's not just heroin. Alcohol is a drug, you know.
That's why I use the
And I enjoy a glass of wine or two. I admit that. But
that's
why I
use substance abuse, because it covers everything.
Yeah,
and
right.
It could even be caffeine. You know,
caffeine, too.
Nicotine,
people get
caffeine.
Hooked on Diet Coke. Really.
Yeah. Peter's absolutely right. You know, it's a substance abuse issue, and sometimes it escalates. So, you know, it is rare that someone starts taking heroin in the first instance. It's rare. It happens. More often than not, you're abusing alcohol or you're abusing marijuana, and you're these so-called gateway drugs, which then lead to experimentation with other things. And you know what? As kids, you know, people experiment.
Right.
And that's not unusual, and we should understand that that's what's happening out there. But there are certain things that if they experiment with, there are life-altering consequences. Heroin's one of them because of the addictive qualities. And the heroin that we had on the streets 20 or 30 years ago, from what I'm being told, the stuff that they have out there right now is so much more powerful and addictive because it has been synthesized. It has been made more potent. And, you know, you get them off. Oftentimes, they want to stop. Many, many stories have been told of people going to rehab. They came off the stuff. They come back. They take it again in quantities that they're no longer used to, and that's when they OD.
Oh, okay. They've cleaned up. All right. It's too powerful a dose then.
And so, you know, look, let's understand what's out there. Let's put money towards it. And let me give you an example. In this year's budget, they placed $25 million statewide for fighting the heroin epidemic. $154 billion budget. They put $25 million.
What is the percentage there? Like 0.01% or something like that?
But, you know, it was a significant increase from year to year.
Where's that money going?
It goes towards treatment. It goes towards developing, treatment centers, beds, providing for outpatient treatment, inpatient treatment. It gets distributed across the state, but it gets distributed across the state. If we had a natural disaster like Superstorm Sandy, we pull out all the stops and we go and we fight it. If we had, you know, we had issues with Ebola and the concerns of that virus coming into the United States, we had concerns about Zika now, and we're putting literally hundreds of millions of dollars and resources into fighting that in the moment. We need to treat the heroin epidemic the same way. We need to take the resources, focus those resources, and go at it. Unfortunately, we're not there yet. And part of the task force, you know, Otto, that you mentioned earlier, is an effort to try and put pressure on the state as state in general, as we go into this next budget, to make sure that we put resources into the budget that allow for these issues to be addressed properly.
Otto, they're putting 0.00016.
Okay, that's less than I said. You know, but the other part of it is trying to educate young people not to do that. But we all know, I think, because we were all young at one time, that we're all capable of doing something stupid.
Even now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even when you're young, I mean, you know, your brain is, it's just not quite there yet, in my opinion, right? And I'll be the first one to admit that I did some stupid things and I got away with it. I was fortunate. But how do you educate younger people to don't do something that's going to screw your life up? Because it, all it takes is a blink of an eye and you go in the wrong path and you wreck your life. And I don't know how you educate younger people to absorb that.
That's very difficult.
It's a combination. I think it comes from everywhere. It comes from the schools. It comes from the families at home. It comes from just about everywhere. But it's always going to be there because the substances, as you know, are available.
Right.
And look, I mean, like I told my kids, it's all about the choices you make.
Right.
You know, it's not, you know, they're very good. Knock wood. They're very well grounded. You know, if they're going to a party, they're drinking. If someone's drinking, they know not to get behind the wheel. And sometimes it's not only that. It's the choices beyond the substances. It's that kid who's the designated driver who's not drinking, but at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning decides to get behind the wheel when they had, you know, sleep. You know, there's choice. They're faced with choices every day of their life. And I really think it comes from everybody. It has to come from parenting. It has to come from the schools, education, everywhere.
Yeah, I agree.
You can't stop talking about it. That's the problem. You can't make it into a stigma. You have to treat substance abuse as a disease. Just like gambling addiction or any other kind of addiction,
right.
It's a disease. It's not a problem. It's a disease.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. You know, I was proud to have sponsored the legislation that requires that we specifically teach about heroin and opioid overdoses and abuses in schools, in grade school. If you consider where we were in my parents' generation, then our generation, then my kids' generation, when it comes to cigarette smoke, when it comes to, you know, eating certain foods. Through education, we have gotten to a point where fewer and fewer people are smoking. It was well accepted, not so well accepted, and now it's something that our kids aren't going to do. And so it takes time, education, and an effort to actually get there. But we'll get there.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Do you remember Len Bias?
Sure, of course.
All right. That scared my whole generation into staying away from drugs. He was a guy who was like, you know, the rising star basketball player, did some coke, I don't know, before a game or if that, dropped dead. And me and my 16-year-old friends like, okay, we don't need much more of an education than that.
Yeah.
With Len Bias, we're done. You've been listening to 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. The most important thing I want to say here is I want to thank Senator Jack Martins for sharing his time with us today, because I know he's a very busy man. And there's two things going for Jack. One, he's a wonderful government official, and he's also a caring human being. And that combination is just wonderful. And I thank you for being here.
Great to be here, John. Thanks very much.
We'll be right back, everybody.